Testira. We have to relish our Krishna consciousness before we can give it to others. Yes. Something else? Yeah. Yeah. Get a person, make a person raise from his level. Yes. What else? Yeah. And exactly. Three things. Where am I? Second, what is the destination? And third, how to go there? How to go to the destination? And thus we studied that first aspect that is called as sambandha, that is to know our relationship, and then is abhideya, that is a process of devotional service which will take us there. These were some of the main things that we discussed. So now we'll try to understand the third topic, that is why to preach. We know what is preaching, we know what to preach, but then why should we preach? Because one of the biggest arguments given by the scholars is that Hinduism is not for preaching. Hinduism is you do your own thing, live and let live, and don't disturb others. So how do you counter this argument? Why should we preach? Pardon? Out of compassion we should preach, yes. Something valuable, so we want to share it with others. It's the ultimate benefit for the society. It's for our benefit. Gaurang Prabhu emphasized this point last time. He said, preaching helps three people. The first person who gets benefit by preaching is the self, the person who is preaching. Second, the one who is asking the questions. And third, the others in the audience. Yes. So it helps us. Exactly. That is the point I was looking for. This is the order of Lord Chaitanya. So the first point is, it is Krishna's order and then of course Lord Chaitanya's order, it's the same thing. So the main point why we are preaching is, if somebody says, why the hell are you preaching? It's not because I want to or I like to. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead has ordered us to preach. So we are following His orders. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that one who shares this knowledge, Ya ida paramam guhyam mad bhaktesh abhidhyasati. One who shares this knowledge, topmost secret with others, He is most dear to me. There has been no one who has been more dearer to me in the past, and there shall be no one who will be as dear as him. And in one place, Krishna tells Arjuna that a devotee does not disturb the materialistic people. So this might seem contradictory. A devotee does not disturb the materialistic people. Rather, Krishna tells Arjuna that a devotee behaves in such a way, he carries out his duties in such an exemplary manner that the materialistic person becomes inspired. And Srila Prabhupada clarifies in the purport that although Krishna is telling Arjuna not to disturb, devotees nevertheless go and preach because a devotee knows the heart of Krishna. He knows that Krishna wants all the conditioned souls back. So he does preach. So what is that order of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Famous order. Anybody knows that verse? Yeah, that is one. But regarding preaching. Yara deka tara kaha Krishna upadesh. Amara agya hoy tara guru hoy tara e desh. Whoever you see, yara deka tara kaha. Whoever you see, tell them about Krishna upadesh, about Krishna. Yaradeka Taraka Krishna Upadesh Amara Agya. This is my order. Become a guru. Taraya Desh. And preach all over the world. This is Lord Chaitanya's order. And Prabhupada, of course, he always emphasized this point. That preaching is the essence, he said. And he would always say, whenever he was sick and he would get reports of book distribution, he would say, this is giving me health. This is improving my health. These book scores are giving me life. So he was very excited by the book distribution scores. So he always wanted to preach. And Prabhupada was convinced that it is Krishna's order. It's not that he simply said it's Krishna's order. One time Prabhupada was in Boston and he was scheduled to give lecture to a group of hippies in the auditorium. It was packed to capacity. More than 2,000 people were there. And Prabhupada began the lecture by telling this group. This group did not know who this Swamiji is. They didn't know anything about Bhagavad Gita. Nor did they care anything about the Indian culture. And Prabhupada begins his lecture by saying, I want to thank all of you wonderful ladies and gentlemen for giving me an opportunity today to glorify Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A very profound statement actually. He is thanking them because he is understanding that whatever he is doing is an opportunity to glorify Krishna. He is convinced about that. That is actually preaching, glorification of Krishna. And he took it as an order of the Lord, so he would, order of his spiritual master, so he would preach. So that is the point. And it's Krishna's order, Lord Chaitanya's order, and also, I think for us, for ISKCON devotees, preaching, why we should preach is mainly because Prabhupada emphasized on it. And Prabhupada is simply representing the parampara. So our Gaudiya Vaishnava parampara is based on three main foundational principles. You know what are those three things? Because of which we are justifying our preaching activities. There are three things which our philosophy, Gaudiya Vaishnavism, always emphasizes upon. These three constitutes the foundation of our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. What are those three points? Yes, first one. Yes. Vaishnav Seva. This is the first point. Service to Vaishnavas. Vaishnav Seva. Then there is, second is Nama Ruchi. Chanting of the holy names. Vaishnav Seva, Nama Ruchi. And the third one is Jeev Daya. That is preaching. Yeah. There was preaching. Narottam Das Thakur, Shyamanand Pandit, Srinivas Acharya, a lot of pastimes about their preaching activities. How a gang of robbers, they were transformed and they became devotees. A lot of pastimes in one particular book written by Satyaraj Prabhu on the Vaishnava Acharyas. And the Goswamis were preaching. It is explained by Srinivas Acharya in that prayer to Shiv Goswamis. Nana Shastra Vicharanaika Nipuno Shad Dharma Sanstapako Loka Nam Hita Karino Karunaya. So it is explaining that these six Goswamis were expert in the study of scriptures and they were not simply satisfied in knowing the scriptures. Loka Nam Hita Karino. They were always working for the welfare of the people by preaching this message. So Sanatan Goswami would always preach. Sanatan Goswami, you all know, was the finance minister of King Nawab Hussain Shah. And Sanatan Goswami wanted to join Lord Chaitanya. So he gave an excuse of being sick and he would stay at home. So when the Nawab sent a person to find out if Sanatan Goswami was really pretending to be sick or was he really sick. So when this man came home, he was surprised to see Sanatan Goswami was not only healthy, but he was giving a discourse on the Srimad Bhagavatam. And his entire house was packed to capacity. So Sanatan Goswami was always preaching. Rupa Goswami was the home minister and he was also always preaching. So his Goswamis were preaching. And when Sanatan Goswami glorifies Haridas Thakur, He says that, my dear Haridas Thakur, there are some people who are always preaching, expert in preaching. And there are some who are constantly doing bhajan. But you are the best of all because you are doing both. So this means Haridas Thakur is also preaching. Of course, what you are saying is right. After Narottam Das Thakur and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and this particular generation, around 150-200 years passed when Gaudiya Vaishnavism degenerated. In the sense, some upper sampradayas came up. Upper sampradayas is an offshoot of the real sampradaya. And they concocted Lord Chaitanya's teachings. And this kind of groups, they started distorting Lord Chaitanya's message. And this group, which proliferated in the eastern part of the country, Bengal, they started corrupting the message to a great extent. So it is to great credit of Bhaktivinod Thakur that he revived the whole thing. So by the time Bhaktivinod Thakur came, Gaudiya Vaishnavism was considered to be a beggar's profession. But at that time, when Bhaktivinod Thakur was the magistrate in Navadvip, there was one man who went around pretending that he is the incarnation of Lord Vishnu. Bisaksen. His name was Bisaksen. And then Bhaktivinod Thakur took up the challenge to bring him to court. And Bisaksen had mystical powers. So there is a very dramatic story. It is there in the book called Seventh Goswami. You can read that story. It's amazing. And the way Bhaktivinod Thakur confronted this man and actually he changed the whole course of history after that. Because this man had a large following. And by exposing him, suddenly Gaudiya Vaishnavism took hold. So it's true that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the one who revived. And before him, preaching had actually stopped. But even before that, preaching was going on. And the classic example of Lord Chaitanya instructing whom for preaching? The most famous story is in Gaudiya Vaishnava history, which shows how Lord Chaitanya wanted us to preach. Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur being ordered that preach, and both of them went and they decided that we should convert these two drunkards, Jagai and Madai. And that's very dramatically given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, how these two became devotees. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually taught by his own example. He could have sat and done bhajan, you know. He was a devotee. He came in the form of a devotee. He could have just been sitting and doing bhajan. But by his own example, he said we should preach. That is the point. And also another reason why we should preach is it helps us ourselves advance rapidly, as you rightly said. And also it helps us overcome the flaws of Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is called as an ocean of faults. The Bhagavatam explains, Kaler doshe nide rajan asti eko mahan guna kirtanadeva krishnasya mukta sangha param vrajet. Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. Kaler doshe nide rajan. But asti eko mahan guna. There is one great quality in this age of Kali. What is that? Kirtanadeva krishnasya. Chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Mukta Sangha Param Vrajet. This is the highest benefit. So now, it is our responsibility to share this gift with others. Because Kali Yuga is full of faults. And what are the faults of Kali Yuga? Anybody knows? The main symptoms of Kali Yuga, which makes it impossible to practice spirituality. Almost impossible. Yes? Max, yeah.
Men have short lives. Is that the one?
Short lives.
And
prayena alpa ayusha. Yes.
Like a bad intelligence.
Yes. Manda sumanda mateo. Yes, perfect.
And like bad memory.
Bad memory.
They're unlucky. Unfortunate, you know?
Unfortunate. Manda bhagya. Yes.
And
you are actually doing the translation of that verse. Very good. You know it. ప్రాయణాల్పాయుష సభ్య కలవు అస్మిన్ యుగే జన మంద సుమంద మతయో అండ్ దే ఆర్ మంద భాగ్య దే ఆర్ అన్ఫార్చునేట్ మిస్గైడెడ్ దే హ్యావ్ షార్ట్ లైఫ్ అండ్ దే హ్యావ్ నో ఫిజికల్ స్ట్రెంగ్త్ ఎస్ ప్రభు పాస్ ద మైక్రోఫోన్ బిహైండ్ రవీష్
ఇట్స్ ది ఏజ్ ఆఫ్ క్వారల్ అండ్ హిపోక్రసీ
పార్డన్
ఏజ్ ఆఫ్ క్వారల్ అండ్ హిపోక్రసీ
క్వారల్ అండ్ హిపోక్రసీ కలియుగ ఇస్ ఎన్ ఏజ్ ఆఫ్ క్వారల్ అండ్ హిపోక్రసీ Yes. Got to say something? Actually, hypocrisy is very rampant in Kali Yuga. You can see it everywhere. And hypocrisy is most rampant when you are alone. And Kali Yuga is most characterized by this. I don't know about London and England, but in India, India is worse than most of the countries. In fact, we strongly feel that America and European countries are, to a great extent, good. Because at least they are honest. If they don't practice, if they are not interested in spirituality, they will say we are not interested. But this hypocrisy factor is so strong in India. People will profess to be devotees. They will claim to be spiritual. And in the name of spirituality, they will do all nonsense things. Therefore, since Kali Yuga is this most degraded age of hypocrisy, we have to preach. Now you will be going for this Ganesh Pandal tomorrow. And you will be able to witness this. People will claim that they are devotees and they will keep an idol of Ganesh and they will break all four regulative principles there. And they do it in the name of God. At least the Americans, they will confess, okay, we are not interested in God, I am an atheist. But Indians will chant the names of God and also do all these nonsense things. So it's a big challenge to preach in India. Srila Prabhupada gave the example of a sleeping man and a man pretending to be sleeping. He said it's easier to wake up a man who is fast asleep. But if somebody is pretending to be asleep, you can't wake him. So Indians are pretending to be asleep, so you can't wake them up. So it's very bad in India. I've been distributing books and I would come across so many people. There was one man who asked me for a book. He said, do you have a copy of Ravan Samhita? I was shocked. I told him I have heard of Brahma Samhita, I have heard of Manu Samhita, but Ravan Samhita? He said, yes, Ravan is the Supreme Lord. Don't you know that? Can you imagine? And he was very angry with me. He says, you people are the ones who are a casteist. You are prejudiced. Ravana is the Supreme Lord. You have misunderstood him. And I am from Ravana Protection Committee. They have a committee which is how to establish the reputation of Ravana. So I said, you are from Ravana Protection Committee. I told him Ravana was destroyed because Lord Ram didn't protect him. So how are you going to protect him? And he got more angry. So this is very common. You will find people, and there was one man who met me. Actually, brahmacharis are very careful while distributing books to couples, you know. This especially now, you will find many couples in some corner in the train, having their kind of love talks. And things like that. It's very now getting common in India also. So once when I was distributing books, I saw a young couple in a corner and they were very badly dressed. So naturally I avoided them. But I was shocked when this couple called me. So I thought probably they want a book. So I thought I shouldn't avoid giving them books. So I went to them. I gave that man a copy and he had his girlfriend in his arms. And he's telling me, he immediately paid for the book. And he took the copy. And then he asked me my name. And out of politeness, I thought I should also ask his name. Though I didn't want to. I wanted to get away from that place. And I was shocked when this man told me his name to be. He said, my name is Swami Sachidananda Paramananda Saraswati. This is the name of a big, this is like a sannyas name in India. So he said, my name is Swami Sachidananda Paramananda Saraswati. These are common sannyas names. So I told him, are you a sannyasi? And my lower jaw dropped actually. I was, you are a sannyasi? And he said, yeah. He was very cool. He's saying, we are from International Foundation of some, he told me some big name of an organization. And he said, you haven't heard of us, but you will very soon hear about us in a big way. And he was telling about his projects and all that. And of course, I was telling myself that, yeah, as Kali Yuga progresses, we will hear only about you people. It's natural. And these people are convinced that this is spirituality. There was Osho in India who propagated Sambhog se Samadhi, that is, you can get Samadhi by sex life. So there are people who are completely distorted the Vedic teachings, and in the name of Vedas, they are creating havoc. So we have to preach, there's an urgency. So it's, when Prabhupada was in England, he was told about, he was bought a newspaper, about one man who claimed to be God. So Prabhupada used to joke, he used to say that in India, every day there are so many gods coming up. So Prabhupada said, who is the God of the week? He would always ask, who is God of the week? Who is the God this week? So it's a very pathetic situation. Especially if you go out to preach, you will realize the urgency to preach this message. In India we have,
Sai Baba.
Yeah, Sai, there's so many Babas like this.
You know the second one, the one with the afro, yeah?
Yeah.
There's a documentary about him in England. And basically exposing him for all his illicit relations. So the owner of Hard Rock Cafe, he's a Sai Baba devotee. So the reporter asked him, he said, so this is who you consider to be God? He said, yes, he is my God. I am completely surrendered to him. So the said, what if you find out that these allegations of child abuse are true? Then he says, that's okay. God can abuse children if he wants to. So this is...
Blind. Actually, this Sai Baba we are talking about, I have gone to their... actually, we had done like kind of... I've gone to a few organizations, and there I saw they have a big book. If you read that book, you will be convinced that he is God. Believe me, I saw that book, and midway I just threw it away and I left that place, because that book established, they have taken all the concepts from Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is. They have taken definition of God. He should have six opulences, beauty, fame, riches. So they have taken each, and they've explained how the Sai Baba has all of them in full. Yeah, they have evidences, you know, like death. Yes, the number of people he has bought back to life. They're given addresses and phone numbers and things like that. Very bewildering.
They argue that he's all attractive.
They have his, you know, beauty, like this, he's smiling and he's supposed to be most beautiful. Yeah, I mean, beauty lies in the eyes of the beholder, you know. Yes, you can't see that beauty. You don't have that vision. He has not bestowed his causeless mercy upon you, so you can't see that beauty.
He's being most unmerciful, I think.
No, the whole idea is, they have very strong arguments. So in Bangalore, which is called as the cyber capital of India, it's like, it's got some of the best computer geniuses working. You have heard of the city of Bangalore in India? So there, one television channel, they came to know that there are some men who are claiming to be God. India, there are many people who are claiming to be Kalki, who is supposed to be the last incarnation of Vishnu for this age. So they found out there are 20 Kalkis in India, each claiming to be the real Kalki avatar. For this television, what they did, they individually called all of them for a special TV show. And none of them knew that the others are being called. And all 20 of them were kept in one room. And the camera was focused on them. And the one was comparing the show. He said, so each one of you here is claiming to be Kalki. Now this is being telecast live all over India. So now you please decide amongst yourself who is the real Kalki. And he left the place. Oh, that was a great spectacle. People had a great time laughing, you know. Each one of them was claiming he is Kalki. So in India, because of this, the Vedic culture is ridiculed. People make fun of it. We have Garba dance. We have the Navaratri festival. These young boys and girls, they come and they dance, Rasa dance. And after that, all the abortion clinics are filled with women wanting to abort. So it's a most degraded situation today, especially in Mumbai. There is one latest man who is claiming to be incarnation of Vishnu. His name is Aniruddh Bapu. And they have Jagannath Ratiyatras, where he's the presiding deity sitting. And they have a Ratiyatra procession. and he claims to be Jagannath. His wife is next to him. And he says his wife is Subhadra. It's very ridiculous. Subhadra is supposed to be sister of Krishna. And then he has his brother as Baldev. Oh, and he puts Tulsi on his lotus, on his, not lotus feet, cactus feet probably. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Tulsi, and it's a very, the devotees, they, you know, they get so angry, they can't do anything. Yes, Tulsi, he puts Tulsi on his feet. And during Ganesh Utsav, 10 years ago, the same man used to take part in the Ganesh procession. And he used to get drunk. And he used to completely be drunkard. Now we have realized that he is God. And he is giving discourses. And he has, believe it or not, millions of people following. Millions of people. Prabhupada, if he had been here right now, my God, I can't imagine how furious Prabhupada would have been. And this man is called as Jagannath. And he has a massive following. So this is another... I meet so many of his followers while distributing books. And they tell me, they pat me on my shoulder, they tell me, don't worry. Anirudh, his name is Aniruddha Bapu. He will deliver you. Don't worry, very soon. I'm assuring you, within the next 5 years, you will be his devotee. Don't worry. So it's horrible. You will be brainwashed completely. Yes, Prabhu.
Very well. So then, if these people are so dull in their head that they think that this person is God and they don't ever claim or check on scripture or anything, then are they really worth preaching to?
Yes, it's a good question. If people are so dull-headed, they're going to them, why are we preaching? We are preaching so that, see, there are different kinds of people. Those who are innocent, but they are not... cheats. You know, there are some people who are innocent and we can catch them before they are taken away by these pseudo organizations. So our whole idea is to prevent many others from going to them. That is the whole idea. Those have already gone, we can't do anything about them. But we can always pray for them, we can always preach to them, and some of them might even come to us. But our focus is to stop this disease from spreading as far as possible. And it will certainly spread. But we have, Prabhupada said, just because in the rainy season it's going to rain, that doesn't mean you don't carry an umbrella. You have to carry an umbrella. You know, you have to do some protective measure. Although you know that you're going to get wet if it rains on you. But still, you have to do something. So we have to catch the innocent who are... There are two kinds of faithless people. One kind is they're innocent. They are willing to change. They're willing to hear. The other kind is they are completely stubborn. They don't listen. So we have to preach to the innocent. Otherwise, we will be committing an offense. See, there is one offense to the holy name, if you see. To preach to the faithless. So this question was asked to Sachinandan Swami Maharaj and Jayadvaita Swami Maharaj in our Sunday Fuse program. And they said, yes, it's a risk to preach. And what it means is giving holy name to the faithless. It actually means initiation. If you are initiating a faithless person, then that's an offense. But you should always give the holy name. You should always preach as far as possible. And many boys have been saved because of our preaching. We have this 6-session Bhagavad Gita course in our temple, which has helped so many people give up their nonsense, demigod worship and so many kinds. Because our Gita course is very systematic. So it smashes all demigod conceptions and all bogus god conceptions, all yoga. Everything is nicely delineated. So we have to preach so that we can prevent the innocent from being misguided. That's the whole idea. So this is one of the main reasons. And the reason why I said all these incidents is, it might sound funny and it's entertaining also. But this is actually predicted in the Bhagavatam. Narad Muni, he comes to Vyasadeva. Srila Vyasadeva, who is the compiler of the Bhagavatam, he is sitting in his ashram. This story is there in the first canto. He is very despondent. And he is not feeling satisfied. And he is wondering, I have composed all the Vedic literatures. I have given the essence. I have given Vedanta Sutra, which is the essence of Vedas. And still I am feeling dissatisfied. I have given formulas by which you can attain mystic perfections, by which you can get military strength. But still I am not satisfied. What is the reason? And as he is pondering on this, his spiritual master, Srila Narad Muni, comes there and he chastises Vyasadeva. He tells him that you have not directly composed literature glorifying Krishna. Therefore you are feeling despondent. You have to glorify Krishna, only then you will be happy. And then Narad Muni tells him, Jugupsitam dharma kritenu shashata swabhava raktasya mahan vyatikramojana. He says, condemned is your writing. He is telling his disciple, who has composed all the Vedic literatures, who is the greatest learned literary incarnation of Krishna. His spiritual master tells him, condemned. Jugupsitam means it's condemned. And why does Narad Muni say that? He clarifies. Jugupsitam dharma kritenu shashata, because swabhava raktasya mahan vitikrama. Because by nature, the rebellious conditioned soul wants to go against Krishna. But now, because you have given these Vedic literatures, people will use these Vedic literatures and justify all their nonsense activities. Now you have given them a platform to justify all their sinful activities. That's why your literatures are condemnable. So now please compose Bhagavatam. Glorify Krishna. Therefore, this Srimad Bhagavatam is of paramount importance. Therefore, we are supposed to preach the message of Bhagavatam. So Srila Prabhupada writes in that purport to that very famous shloka of the first canto. Tadvag visargo janataga viplavo yasmin prateshlokam abhudya yatyapi namanantasya yashon kitaniyat shunvanti gayanti grinanti sadhava. He says, viplavo. Viplavo means a revolution. So Narad Muni is telling Vyasadev, my dear Vyasadev, even if you write imperfectly, tadvag visargo, even if it is visarga, if it's not perfect, this literature will bring about viplava, revolution in the whole human civilization. Because it is glorifying the pure, spotless activities of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that I have a lot of limitations, but I am convinced that by reading this book, people will become devotees. And that's exactly what happened. Because Prabhupada had written this Bhagavatam first canto before he went to England, before he went to America. And then he gives an example there. Prabhupada says, English is a foreign language to me, but I am convinced that if there is a fire in your house, and if you are in a foreign country and you don't know the language, still you will effectively communicate to your neighbor that there is a fire in your house and you need help. You will scream, you will howl, you will do something. Similarly, Prabhupada says, this world is on fire. So language doesn't matter. Your external public skills don't matter. Have that desperate desire to preach. You will transform the whole world. And the classic example of this is Prabhupada himself. You know, when Prabhupada went to America, he was preaching to the hippies. He had a heavy, heavy Bengali accent. So he would give lectures and he would say, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to shave all of you. So, and the hippies had long hair. And they would think, Mahaprabhu has come to what? Shave. So they would be a little skeptical. And then Prabhupada would understand their, he would read their minds and he would say, yes, Mahaprabhu has come to shave and save both. So they wouldn't understand, you know, his accent was. If you read the Lilamrat, second volume, Satsarup Maharaj writes that Prabhupada gave once 3 months lecture on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meeting, Sanatana Goswami meeting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And these people, they say, they didn't know who Sanatana Goswami was. For 3 months, they didn't understand a word of what Prabhupada was telling them. Can you imagine? 3 months. So Maharaj writes that you would write notes every lecture, like you are writing notes now. And every day you would write a different name. One day would, for Sanatana Goswami, you would write Suntan. Some days you would write Sontan. You would write different names because he was not sure who is this person is talking about. And at the end of 3 months, none of them, Kirtanana, Sasarup, Valley, all of them, none of them knew who instructed whom. Of it, Sanatana Goswami meeting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and who is Nawab Hussain Shah, and who is Dabir Khas, who is Sakar Malik, they were completely confused. And then Prabhupada Because Prabhupada said this sound vibration is transcendental, it has a purifying effect and it transforms the hearts. So they had that faith. So Prabhupada could do that because of his purity, because of his desire to preach. And they had this formula, the hippies, they had a slogan, never trust anyone above 30. They were a skeptical crowd. But Prabhupada could touch their hearts. He could transform their hearts because he had that desperate desire to give Krishna to others. One time, devotees arranged a program for Prabhupada in Hudson Hall in New York in the initial days. It had a capacity of almost 2,000 and only 3 people came for that program. Their big hall. And devotees were embarrassed. They have arranged a big program and no turnout. But Prabhupada was unaffected. He gave a lecture as if the hall was packed. He led a dancing kirtan. And then when the devotees apologized, Prabhupada told them, you know what Prabhupada told them? Devotees said, Prabhupada, we are sorry, nobody turned up. Prabhupada said, what do you mean nobody turned up? Didn't you see Narad Muni there? Didn't you see Brahma? They were all there. Wherever there is glorification of Krishna, all demigods come. So we don't care if nobody becomes devotee. So Prabhupada said, when devotee apologized to Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, I don't care if no one accepts. I am going to glorify Krishna. I will scream to the sky, to the moon. I will scream in the wilderness about Krishna. Because ultimately I want a certificate from Krishna. We don't want certificate from a pack of donkeys. This is Prabhupada's emphatic statement. We should never lose an opportunity to glorify Krishna. Because Prabhupada said, what is the meaning of a Vaishnava? Vaishnava is actually a beggar. He has no property. The only property a Vaishnava has is Krishna. So he wants to desperately give that property which he has to others. He is the most selfless social worker. Therefore, a devotee always wants to give Krishna because that is the only thing he has. He doesn't have anything else. Another time, Prabhupada at the jet age Parivrajakacharya was traveling from Sydney, this is 1971 May, Sydney to Calcutta, Calcutta to Moscow. After meeting Professor Kotowski from Moscow, he went to Paris, from Paris to San Francisco, then Los Angeles. This is massive traveling in 2 months. And then he came only for one day to Paris. And there is this famous Olympia Theater there, which has a capacity of 2,000 people, the biggest auditorium in Paris. And they arranged a program of Prabhupada there. And 5 people turned up. Prabhupada was completely unaffected. He said, we have to preach to the 4 walls. The sound vibration will be transmitted in the ether and people will become devotees. So this is the mood of a devotee. He always wants to give Krishna to others. You all know His Holiness Sachinandan Swami Maharaj? Have you all met him sometime? But you know about him? Have you heard about him? He's an amazing devotee from Germany. Wonderful devotee. He's come to our temple. And earlier I was in the guest reception department. I would be taking care of visiting sannyasis. So I had the opportunity to serve him. And whenever I would be leaving at the end of the day, after putting up his mosquito net, after just finishing off all the services, he would say, wait, you can't go. If you're talking to him on the phone also, if you're hanging up, he'll say, wait, you can't hang up. He says, I don't leave anyone unless I give them Krishna. So before you go, he'll tell you something about Krishna for 2 minutes. He'll tell you to say something. He says, this is the mood of a Vaishnava. He always wants to give Krishna to everyone. Therefore, we should never lose an opportunity. Because Bhagavatam says, if we don't glorify Krishna, our tongue is like the croaking of a frog. Bile batoru krama vikramane nashtanvata karna pute narasya jihasati dar durkeva suta nachopagayati urugaya gatha. Just like a frog's croaking attracts only the snake. Similarly, if we are croaking, making sound, we are attracting death. I always give this argument. If somebody challenges why you are reading about Krishna, how will it help? I give them a simple example of the proof. If somebody asks for evidence, how can you say that Krishna literature is most transcendental and most purifying? I tell them, you read any film magazine. We have many film magazines in Bombay, Bollywood, Filmfare, Stardust. So I tell them, you read these magazines, does your passion, does your lust increase or decrease? They say, obviously it increases because our passionate magazines. Then I tell them, you read about Krishna. You read Prabhupada's Krishna book. You feel so transformed. You feel so joyful. Your lust decreases. You read about Krishna stealing, your stealing proclivities will go away. You read about Krishna killing demons, your violent tendencies will go away. This means there is something special about Krishna. That is a proof. That means Krishna is not ordinary sound. Krishna is not ordinary person. The best example is, you take any film song or any song of any rock music group. Can you hear the same song again and again and again? It's not possible. Can you see the same film again and again and again? No. But here, we are reading the same stories of Krishna, same pastimes of Krishna for the last so many years. It's not that this Janmashtami, we are a little bored. So we change the script. This Janmashtami, Kamsa defeats Krishna. Because we want a little change. No, that never happens. Now we are completely satisfied reading the same pastime. Because each time we read it, the more we read about Krishna, we develop more taste. There is more attraction towards Krishna. So this is spiritual. Therefore, a devotee, as he gives Krishna to others, he becomes more purified. And he experiences more bliss in Krishna consciousness. Okay? Any final comments? I actually plan to stop at 11:45. It's 12 now. Any questions or comments? Few? Yes, Prabhu. Speak on the microphone.
You said about about devotee not understand first year when Srila Prabhupada preach for hippie, devotee not understand. Hippie not understand what Prabhupada said. Brahmananda Prabhu and Gargamuni Prabhu said about this, you know, we completely not understand what Swami just said for us. But we, you know, we like this. He was, you know, for us father. He was for us friend. Nice. We joking with him, you know. We like him, you know. We so attract him. But we not understand who's many years not understand what he said. But we like, you know, something make for him association with him. We so attract, you know.
Same thing. Many devotees have this experience. Satswarup Maharaj writes how Prabhupada told him one day, if you love me, I will love you. And that statement touched him so much, he gave up his whole thing and he completely surrendered to Prabhupada. So devotees are completely mesmerized by Prabhupada's love and compassion. Single-handedly he would cook for them, he would clean up the place, he would do everything for those. And Satswarup Maharaj writes, he would call up from his office. He was working in a welfare department office. He would call up and he would tell Swamiji, can you keep some prasadam for me? I'll be late from office. Because he was afraid that if he is late for lunch, prasadam would be over. So Swamiji would keep prasad for him. He would go and Swamiji would be awake waiting for him to come. That time he was Steve. So Satswarup Maharaj would sit. Prabhupada would serve him. Then he would eat and go away. Then Prabhupada would clean up the place. So this way Prabhupada served him for so many months. So devotees are completely overwhelmed by Prabhupada's love and compassion. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah.
It's just something I heard really recently that some devotee, like Bhakti Charamaraj, was giving a lecture and some of his disciples were Western bodied. So he started lecturing in Hindi. So they sat there for an hour or so and then they walked out. And afterwards, Maharaj really chastised them and said, you know, this is a transcendental message, even if you can't understand what's going on. So I was just thinking, because a lot of devotees, when they hear lectures, they can't really understand what's going on. Often I sit in classes and I can't comprehend the level. But we should just endeavor to sit there.
There's one Prabhupada pastime also. Prabhupada was in Bombay, 1977, May Pandal program. When a Swedish devotee was sitting, Prabhupada was giving the lecture in Hindi, and he walked out, Prabhupada stopped him. Prabhupada said, wait, wait. Even if you don't understand my Hindi, stay here. The sound vibration will purify. You know these two devotees, Jananivas Prabhu and Pankajangri Prabhu? In Mayapur, they have Chaitanya Charitamrita class in the evening, and many times the lectures are in Bengali, and both these brothers are sitting right in the front. Even though they don't understand Bengali, they are sitting with paying rapt attention. Because they are confident that this word, sound vibration will purify. Just like, I'll give you a simple example. When the morning darshan opens at 7:30, when the deities, you are greeting the deities, do you make a discrimination? Do you say that, okay, today who has dressed the deities? Is it this pujari? Only then I will go and take darshan. We don't do that. Irrespective of who is dressing the deities, we take darshan. Isn't it? Similarly, irrespective of who is giving class, we should be eager to hear, because Bhagavatam is not different from the deity. Krishna, when he comes in the form of a book, is called as Bhagavatam. So sometimes devotees call up the congregation, devotees call up the temple in the morning. Who is giving class today? And if they hear Gauranga Prabhu is giving, they come. If they hear some new bhakta is giving, they keep the phone down. But it's just like greeting the deities. It doesn't matter who is dressed the deities, but you always are looking forward to taking the wonderful darshan. Similarly, even if it's a new devotee speaking on Bhagavatam, we should be eager to hear. Because that's sound vibration. Vidyanand Maharaj says, when he was a new bhakta, how he would give classes. Do you know this? Very interesting. He would keep a shawl around his head like this, and he would have a walkman here, Prabhupada's tape playing, and on his earphones would be here, and he would cover himself with a shawl, and he would play and pause. So he would hear Prabhupada's two sentences, and then he would repeat it. And then again he would hear, his eyes closed, and again he would give. So devotees would think he's giving a very thoughtful class, very deep contemplative class. But he was happy doing that, repeating the words of Prabhupada. And Hridayanand Maharaj says that Prabhupada himself heard many of his disciples give classes many times. So Prabhupada knew that these words have transcendental potential. Prabhupada has heard his disciples give classes also. So therefore we should be excited to preach. I don't know about all of you, I'm sure you all are excited. But in India, at least in our temple, there are some brahmacharis who are a little skeptical about preaching, because they were tending to associate humility with not going out and preaching. If they were told to give lectures, they would say, no, I'm not qualified. What will I speak? No, that's not humility. Sometimes we think, you know, if I'm giving lectures, I'm in the limelight. You know, everybody is looking at me. I'll get a lot of fame. I'll get a lot of name. So I shouldn't preach. That's not the solution. Solution is to preach and yet remain humble. Have guidance of senior devotees. So you don't become proud by not preaching. But by preaching you don't become proud. It's not like that. In fact, by not preaching, you might become proud of your so-called humility. You know, I'm so humble. I'm not giving big lectures. You know. You might start thinking, I'm the most humble man in the planet. Of all the wonderful qualities I have, humility is my best quality. So we can't have such superficial kind of arguments. So we should be eager to preach. That is what Mahaprabhu's mood is, mission, Prabhupada's mission. Okay? So we'll continue our sessions tomorrow. Tomorrow hopefully our musician Anand Nitai Prabhu will be back. And before you go for your yatra, I am hoping to finish at least two subjects out of the three that you are having now. Okay? Any other doubts or clarifications you have regarding your program schedule, you can meet me during lunch. Because then I will again be gone because I have some other services. So lunchtime I am there, so you can talk to me that time. Yes, Prabhu, last, you pass in the microphone.
we were told that we were going to start services soon as well.
Yeah, I'm waiting for Gaurang Prabhu to come back. He has gone to Pandharpur. Because considering your late night programs, I'm not sure how far can we accommodate services also in the daytime. Because you need to catch up with rest and you need some space, breathing space. So I'm working it out. Because backup services will be very difficult. It will be very physical. It will demand a lot of... You get very tired. So we are avoiding that. So we can have some small services like rolling chapatis or putting ghee on the chapati or mopping the temple floor in the mornings, which all brahmacharis are doing, including the temple presidents. We all clean the temple floor. So something like that we can work out. But at least once a week there will be maha cleanup. So when all temple devotees take part, so you all will be part of that. The whole temple is cleaned, including this hall, everything. So that will be exciting because all brahmacharis are involved. And you've seen that film, Simple Temple? That was one of the highlights of that film, Maha cleaning is most exciting because everybody takes part. Okay. Thank you so much. Jaya Srila Prabhupada ki. Jaya. Ki jaya.